1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A massive winter storm that's snarling the roads and shutting down air traffic has caught President Biden's attention.
This is really a very serious weather alert here. And it goes from Oklahoma all the way to Wyoming and Wyoming to Maine. And it's a real consequence.
There are more than 1,700 flight cancellations in the U.S. today. AAA is expecting close to 900,000 breakdowns over the holiday. Correspondent Jennifer Kuiper checks in from suburban Chicago.
This trucker's concern?
The wind. It's never fun to be in the wind when you're a trucker. You got to slow down quite a bit.
For truck driver Chris DeMarco.
I go through the blizzards all the time from Milwaukee all the way up to Grand Rapids, Michigan and Chicago. So as long as it's not ice, we're good.
His suggestion to other drivers?
Take it slow, be aware of everybody, and stay kind. If everyone thinks kindly, we'll all be good.
Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, DeKalb, Illinois.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is back home less than a day after receiving a hero's welcome on Capitol Hill, where he pleaded with lawmakers for continued U.S. aid as the war in his country rages on. The Treasury Department has announced new sanctions against Russia. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
This latest round of sanctions targets Russian defense contractors, suppliers of equipment to the Russian Navy. The State Department says the move is a response to Moscow's interference with Ukrainian exports of food and grain. A deal to allow the resumption of grain shipments was struck in July, but the port of Odessa shut down for a day earlier this month because of Russian attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure.
In Afghanistan, women are protesting again near Kabul University after the Taliban banned them from higher education. A government minister says he wanted to avoid mixing genders, and some of the subjects being taught at universities violate the principles of Islam. Prominent groups representing doctors and pharmacists say most of the decongestants we pay all that money for don't work. They're asking the FDA to stop the sale of over-the-counter drugs like Benadryl, Mucinex, and Tylenol. They say the meds don't work, but they don't do harm either. Spain has kicked off the holidays with El Gordo, the fat one. Children at Madrid's Opera House singing out the lucky numbers for the $2.7 billion worth of prize money. One of the lottery winners, an unemployed mother of two from Peru, who says she'll use the money to buy an apartment and make a donation to her church. The Dow is down 510 points. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
You wash your hands, you brush your teeth, but what about the nose? How do you clean your nose? With Navage. Navage uses powered suction to pull saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out the other nostril, flushing out allergens, mucus, and germs. And it's why cleaning your nose, the body's air filter, is the next evolution in daily personal hygiene. People try Navage for lots of reasons. Sinusitis, colds, allergies, snoring, things that make it hard to breathe through your nose. But over time, they find that cleaning their nose makes them feel better, a lot better. Over 3 million Navage users have written more than 100,000 reviews, averaging 4.7 stars, saying, best product I've ever used, and amazing, I love my Navage. Navage helps you breathe better, sleep deeper, and snore less, but the biggest payoff is improved health. Navage is good personal hygiene and can help you stay healthier. At Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
The Badgers.
Under pressure, down he goes.
The Cowboys.
Tightrope to sideline, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Live from Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona.
They win the game. They are bowl eligible, and they keep the Freedom Trophy.
It's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Join us Tuesday. Our coverage begins at 7 p.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Catch all the postseason action right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. COVID testing has been canceled for today, December 22nd, at the Ruth Gilfrey Center in Portage County. Testing will resume next week on Tuesday from 1 to 5 p.m. and Thursday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can still request free at-home COVID tests from the SayYesCOVIDTest.org website. Visit Wausau is anticipating a boost to the economy in the tens of millions of dollars with the expansion of services planned for Rib Mountain State Park. The master plan has unveiled the addition of several biking and hiking trails, two more ski areas, and bringing back camping to the park. The community will need to capitalize on these improvements by drawing people to the area to take advantage of these available activities. There is no set date for the completion of the park expansion yet. The master plan revision was modified and approved by the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board at their December 14th meeting. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm warning continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High of 9, northwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of snow, tonight 7 below, overcast. Highs around 1 above, tomorrow snow likely. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 3 below.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today on your lunch hour. I hope you are not stuck in the snow anywhere yet. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And, you know, earlier this month, we talked about a new report that had come out that enrollment at Wisconsin Technical Colleges had grown by more than 10%. And I've been very honest with how going to community college when I was living in California, how much of a great experience that was for me and my academic career. And so we thought instead of, just talking about the report, we'd actually have someone who lives it come on and tell us more about what the different programs are and what role the Wisconsin Technical Colleges system is going to play as far as educating people in Wisconsin. And so here to talk about that and probably more is Wisconsin Technical College System President, Morna Foy. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So just to lay the foundation, how different or how much interaction or how separate is WTCS from the UW system?
Well, they're completely separate organizations in terms of governance and financing and structure and all of those things. We do a lot of stuff in partnership. Probably the most important thing we do is to build pathways, educational pathways for students so that that easy movement of students back and forth between the systems and trying to protect and preserve their credits that they've earned. It's an ongoing effort to minimize the confusion, minimize how much work it is for an individual student, make sure that we try to avoid at all costs having them repeat work or do something, increase the redundancy, the time, the cost, if they do want to move between systems, because I think that that's something that's going to be more and more common as the years progress here.
Absolutely.
So that's a big activity. We also do, though, some people might be surprised to hear that we do a lot of professional development together. We've been doing a lot of work in educating ourselves and changing our curriculum and learning how to new teaching techniques in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. We share best practices about staff development and opportunities there, teaching methods. We run shared programs. And I think the other thing that we're focused on very formally together, along with our Wisconsin Association of Independent Colleges and University Partners, is the state's attainment goal, post-secondary attainment goal. So we're looking to have 60% of our population, adult population, have some kind of a post-secondary credential, including an apprenticeship by the year 2027. So we're very close, but that's been an all hands on deck effort to move Wisconsin to that goal.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the pandemic was a hit for all schools, technical schools, community colleges, four-year universities. And I think there's a lot of different initiatives and headlines. I know I've seen things like the different how tuition is for lower income students and everything. And so when this headline came out that I think I first saw it on WPR, that the Wisconsin Technical College system had actually grown, you must be so proud of that, first of all. So congratulations. Yeah. But what were some of the key programs, initiatives, or what do you attribute that to where other college systems are still trying to get back to pre-pandemic enrollment numbers?
Well, first off is that the two-year college sector and the WTCS in particular has always focused on part-time students. So we've always had the majority of our students going part-time. Most of them are working at least one job, sometimes more than one.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a greater number of students who are parents or who are caring for their parents and have other obligations because our students tend to be older. So they have other outside demands on their time and energy besides being college students. And the reason that matters is because it requires the tech colleges to be a lot more flexible and to provide educational opportunities in different ways and to have a more student-driven process for deciding when and how to offer not just classes, but services. And that has always been true, but during the pandemic, that became mission critical because everything was turned upside down and people were being asked to do a lot of things differently. And we were already used to having to make those kinds of changes rapidly. And we were already used to this idea that we need to be student ready rather than expecting students to be ready to go to college. We're open enrollment institutions, so we take students wherever they're at. And we find a way to move them in a positive direction through their educational pathway. So that history and that sort of culture was ideal when it came to making major transformational changes in a very short period of time. And we can talk more about what some of those specific things were, but I think that's, We really were in a better place culturally than a lot of higher education institutions because of that history. And the other thing I think needs to be given a lot of credit for is that our students have weathered some pretty bad years for many of them, and now are back, returning to a path that they had started during the pandemic. And they've been able to figure things out that really interrupted college for a lot of our students. Things like getting some childcare, it's not just, can I afford it? It's, is there any to be had?
Period. Yeah.
And it continues to be a really tough, I don't know if any of you guys are parents of some very small children, but right now, you know, for people who are having to put their kids into childcare or even the lower grades of school, primary school, it's not uncommon for their kids to be sent home or be told not to come in 1-2 days a week, every week, because somebody in the class, whether it's another kid or their teachers, have COVID. Or some of the any variety of viruses that are running around right now. And so that is made for our students who are parents. That was a huge problem during pandemic, and continues to be a struggle for them, but they're working through it. Another is that they have, got themselves in better financial situation. The one thing about the pandemic that people didn't understand, I had heard from a lot of people, oh, the pandemic will be great for your enrollments because people are lost their jobs. They're not working. So everybody will be coming back to tech colleges. That's what always happens in a bad economy, right? And the truth was, is that our students in the past, yes, they come to Tech College and they take more classes when the economy is bad, but most of them are still working. Mm-hmm. And what happened here is that they were told on Friday, don't come to work on Monday. And we don't know when you'll come back. And so the cliff in terms of financing and how are we going to support ourselves was pretty huge. And for a lot of our students, it's taken them quite a while to recover, if they're even recovered from that. So they're finding their way back to us, but it's only because they have found their way through to managing to support their themselves and their families a little bit better right now. So I don't want to take all the credit for this. I think a lot of it has to do with our students acknowledging the importance of reskilling and upskilling. And it also has to do with them working through a lot of challenges that the pandemic caused for most of us here in Wisconsin. But in terms of our colleges, what are they doing? They are responding to the 21st century college student. And again, this goes back to, we already had a start on this, but we have really kicked in this idea that, you know, students are driving how and when and where and in what formats they are going to go to college. And if you are an institution that does not return or respond to that those demands, you are going to have a tough time enrolling students. They have so many choices right now, and they have become much more aware of their power as consumers. I'll put it that way. Recently talked to one of a recent high school graduate last year, for example. He graduated last year, so he's a freshman this year, and he could have gone to any place. He could have gone to multiple 4-year public privates or 2-year. But what did he want? He wanted an institution that would let him choose whether he was taking a particular class online or in person. He wanted to choose class by class, and the place he found that option was at a technical college.
That's so interesting. And when we come back from the break, because I'm really curious about how this plays into, you know, one of the big stories of 2022 was student loan forgiveness and how that plays into this. And it was certainly my own experience of there is no one right way to go to school. And even having people know the technical school is an option instead of any kind of pressure that you have to have this like 4-year on the campus picturesque experience for it to be a really, really beneficial experience educationally. And so when we come back from the break, I want to talk more about that. Our guest this half hour is Wisconsin Technical College System President, Morna Foy. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
From the lights on the tree in your house to the rotary lights in the park, may this holiday season be a bright, cheerful time for you and your family. Happy holidays from the staff and residents at Edgewater Haven Nursing Home, a proud sponsor of Holiday for Seniors.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. Help Smile Train change the world one smile at a time. Learn more at smiletrain.org/learn.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Progressive Talk, from Muskego to Pewaukee. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. We are talking to Wisconsin Technical College System President Morna Foy about Wisconsin Technical College System. And so one of the questions I would love to get your insight on is the role that WTCS plays, because in this bigger question of student loans, which is a hot button topic that a lot of people have very strong opinions on, whether it was the loan forgiveness versus that's not actually solving the root problem of school is just too expensive. There's a lot of different ways that we're not going to be able to cover in 8 minutes. But I feel very strongly about that there is no one way to go to school. There's no one way to get higher education. I didn't go to college right away. I ended up going to community college, and I just took a couple classes. I realized I was good at school. I got very excited about school. I learned how to go to college and then got to transfer into the UC system because I was living in California. And so as someone who was the president of WTCS, what role do you feel like your college system plays in this big, massive problem of student loans?
We play an important role. We are traditionally the institution where it's not just open access, but we're the affordable option.
Yep.
And we're a first choice for a lot of folks who don't necessarily see that college or post-secondary education in their future until they have a tech college experience. And just like you did, they build their capacity. They get their sense of self-confidence. They realize they can do it. And so there's lots of things we can and are doing. First off the bat, of course, is expansion of dual enrollment options, which for the vast majority of the 56,000 students that are getting our high school students that are taking tech college classes right now, those classes are free to them and those credits transfer to a tech college or a university.
Wow.
So that's a big way to save millions of dollars and reduce your cost of going to college. Another is that we deliver our programming in a lot of different ways so that we don't have a huge population of residential students, which means they're not paying dorm prices. You know, they obviously have housing and other costs, but sometimes those can get, they can blow up when you have to go on campus. And I think a big thing is that we accommodate part-time students who are working, and that's how they're paying for school. So we don't want to tell them to stop doing that, but that does mean you have to change a lot of the ways that you offer services. You can't shut down the advising offices at 4:30. You can't, make it impossible to reach out to your faculty member unless it's between the hours of 9 and 11:30 in the morning. You have to be a lot more flexible in how you deliver. You have to use online options if that's what students want for both instruction and support services. And we are doing all those things. Another thing we're doing is stacking credentials so students can get a short-term credential quickly, go into the workplace, get some more higher pay rate as a result, and then come back and not repeat work. They build on that next credential. And then lastly, we have been pushing at the federal level very hard to get the Pell Grant, which is the primary federal grant for college students, to expand it to short-term credentials, or it's called short-term Pell, workplace Pell. Because right now, unless it's a longer degree, like an associate degree, you can't get a Pell Grant for it. And that disadvantages students who are going part-time and are trying to build and take advantage of our stackable career pathways.
That's great to know. And as far as, it's been a long time since I was a senior in high school. but as far as,
Doesn't look like it.
I appreciate that. But the, I think for the trend for as long time, if you were, this idea that, like I said before, there's one way to go to college. You go to a four-year university and you have that experience and you're in the dorms in freshman year. Do you feel like there's still a stigma there that people don't always consider technical school an option, that they feel like pressure to go to four-year school, or do you think that's starting to change?
I think it's starting to change, actually. It's been an ongoing issue since I joined the tech college system a couple of decades ago. But I think that we've been doing some recent surveying of the Wisconsin public, and we are seeing a big change in terms of the value people place on the technical college, the importance of it to their communities, to them personally, to their kids. So I think that that is definitely changing. We will always be in an educational process. And the way that you get people to understand the benefit and their choices and the value of their choices is by demonstrating over and over again positive outcomes for your students and your graduates. And I think the tech colleges do that every day, every year, and will continue to report them out and shout them out so that, our end goal is that anyone that could benefit from a technical college experience in Wisconsin, that's a student or an employer, gets the chance to do that. And they get that opportunity. That's what we're here for, and that's what we want to achieve.
So final question in the last minute and a half that we have. I have a young cousin who is exploring his options as he is a senior in high school. What is the best resource to send him to if he wants to explore different options for within the WTCS system?
He should go out to our website, WTCSystem.edu. There's career exploration materials there. He can access all 16 technical colleges' websites from there. He can read about not just this report that you mentioned earlier about enrollments, but what we're doing in an apprenticeship space, how students feel about us, what happens to our graduates, how much money do they make? All of those things are all out there and hopefully an easy way to navigate. I'm sure he'll be much better at it than I am.
Well, I will send that to him, and we will also post it on today's blog post. Mornos Foy, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll hope to have you back soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good holidays, guys.
All right, come back for more headlines.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. It's a whole new game when the Badgers face Oklahoma State for the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix on December 27th. Your business can be a part of the action right here on your local Civic Media radio station, locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Learn how you can share your Badgers pride during the game, airing locally and streaming everywhere. Call 715-424-1300. 715-424-1300.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Is the cost of college weighing you down? Don't worry. There is a ton of untapped federal financial aid available right now. The University of Wisconsin system has financial aid experts across the state waiting to help you finish the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. Go to wisconsin.edu for more information, and FAFSA will show you the money, but only if you fill it out. Sponsored by the University of Wisconsin system.
Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The UW Richland Center campus is being forced to close at the end of the spring semester in 2023. The UW system cites low enrollment and financial pressures. Community members and others say this is misleading and that UW-Platteville mismanaged the campus. Former high school students say there was little to no recruitment and they were directed to apply at UW-Platteville, not the branch campuses. UW-Platteville repeatedly rejected the offer from UW-Richland's private foundation to pay for a dedicated campus recruiter. The UW system is now focusing on transitioning students, faculty, and staff to other campuses. UW-Platteville will absorb UW-Richland's budget. UW President Jay Rothman has asked the campus to transition to adult learning or online classes. This will put a huge financial burden on the county to maintain the buildings without much support from the UW system. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm warning continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High of 9, northwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of snow, tonight 7 below, overcast. Highs around 1 above, tomorrow snow likely. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 3 below.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, coming to you live from both WFHR and WAUK. That is right. Jane is in Waukesha. I am in Wisconsin Rapids. Technology is allowing us to do this, and we're doing great.
What an amazing thing.
Yes. So I thought this segment, because we got moved around a little bit, we'd do some other headlines that caught our eye. And this one actually just came through live while we were on air. some college students in Milwaukee very excited because UWM has canceled finals.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So Marquette is also close to campus, but they were already on Christmas break. So they had already done their finals. So their closing campus basically just applies to anyone who's still on campus for the holiday. But UWM still had finals, and any final that was today at 3 or later has been postponed. So if you were not prepared, it's a Christmas miracle.
But if you were prepared, now you have to retain all that knowledge until after the break, and then you got to take your final.
Gosh, I don't. Speaking of, as we just talked to Morna Foy, like, I do not. And I was with my cousin who is in college at UW Madison a couple weeks ago, and they were all in the middle of finals, but they still went out. And I don't miss that at all. I do feel like that's one aspect of the college experience that doesn't necessarily get replicated later in life. Like, here are 4 either papers, projects, or finals all in the same week that have a huge impact on your grade, which with how our school system is set up, is a big deal if you're trying to do well in school.
Yeah.
And just the amount of stress and information overload you put your brain through. And maybe some jobs have something similar to that, because obviously there's stressful times of year. I mean, obviously anyone who works in retail right now, the last 2 months have been hectic, whether both for brick and mortar and for e-commerce. But I don't know. Can you think of anything else that it feels like similar to finals during college?
Maybe for people who work in the tech industry and, you know, where there's so much pressure to produce, or otherwise we could possibly equate it to trying to bring a number of radio stations online across one state all at the same time.
That's true. And actually, our guest later today, Wisconsin Beer Baron Chris Drozner, is just listening, and he just texted me because he is also an editor over at Milwaukee Magazine. He said, "You're describing a print deadline, newspapers and magazines." I was like, "Oh, all right, there you go." So some people still have that kind of
urgent deadline
that they're working against. But congratulations to all the UWM students who felt like this is a win for them. But other things that caught my eye, we now officially know when the 2024 Republican convention is going to be in Milwaukee. It is going, mark your calendars, either because you're going or you're avoiding it. But July 15th through the 18th, 2024. So the dates are now confirmed, and now all the local organizers can start nailing down final agreements for blocks of hotel rooms and, you know, anything else. I'm sure co-working spaces, restaurants for parties, all the things. This is like the what was the dry run in 2020 for the DNC.
Yeah.
All the restaurants and everything that thought that they were going to get a windfall from that are probably starting to be open for business and try to book things.
Well, and just think about catering companies, florists, people who chair rentals, you know, stuff like that. That's all part of putting on a big convention like that. So I'm sure a lot of those folks who were, again, they were just poised for the DNC before that got canceled because of COVID. So hopefully this will be a boon for a lot of folks in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, right? That's the goal. That's why even though there was a lot of people who obviously are not happy about this happening, everyone who is fighting so hard for it to happen obviously thinks and very much believes that there's going to be a lot of economic upside for Milwaukee. And I just love that it's also, I mean, not that it should be surprising, but part of the reasons why they had to choose this date is obviously because it couldn't overlap with Summerfest or the Wisconsin State Fair. Which, I mean, logistically makes sense, but it's also just funny. No, we can't do that weekend.
We're having a party. I'm sorry, but this party's been planned for a really long time.
Yes, exactly. And so it will be mostly at the Pfizer, but also at the Wisconsin Center. And so this also gives a deadline to the Wisconsin Center on how, you know, major renovation that needs to be done and completed by the first quarter of 2024. And so it feels like a long time away, but when you think about how fast 2022 flew by, it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, definitely will. And they got a lot of money to raise too, I would think.
Oh yeah, I think it's $65 million.
Ooh.
I think Reince Priebus is in charge of that. I think he's heading all of this up, at least on the state side. But yeah, I think I read that in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that it's around $65 million.
That's a nice change.
But again, a number. I don't like, is that, you know, and all the numbers we listed off at the beginning of the show, it's like, it's a lot of money. It sounds like less money than some of the other things that are getting passed, but I have no idea. All right. So this is a, I don't, did you hear about what happened at the Rockettes?
I did not.
Have you seen the Rockettes ever at Radio City Music Hall?
I've never seen them live. I've only seen them on TV.
I've seen them as a kid. It was wonderful. I think I saw them twice as a kid, and it was great. But I haven't gone in a long time. I think my brother went recently. But I saw this, and it's interesting because it just raises the question of privacy, expected privacy. What can private companies choose to do? You know, we talk about, you know, constantly in the headlines right now, obviously is Twitter, but social media in general, we always have to make the correction that your First Amendment right has nothing to do with you being able to post content on platforms. So they're private companies, you sign terms of agreement and they can kick you off. And does that apply for a privately owned performance space hall? Like, they can just kick you out if they have terms that they say you can't be here. So think about it, but this is what happened. So a woman named Kelly Conlon arrived at Radio City Music Hall to watch the Rockettes Christmas Spectacular and was not expecting to get turned away, but that is exactly what happened. And this has to do with facial recognition technology. So it was the weekend after Thanksgiving, and this woman and her daughter went to New York on a Girl Scout trip to see the show. And while everyone else in their party made it through security, Conlon was immediately stopped. And according to her recollection, she's like, it all happened very quickly. I was going through the metal detector, and then I heard over the intercom, I heard them say, woman with long dark hair and a gray scarf. And then security guards told her that she was picked up by the venue's recognition, referring to the facial recognition software that they have installed at Radio City Music Hall. And she was removed from the venue while her daughter and the rest of the troupe and parents went inside. And it wasn't until later that it was revealed that the reason Conlon was not allowed into the performance is because she works as an attorney for a New Jersey-based law firm that's involved in a personal injury litigation against MSG Entertainment. And the company says banning Conlon is in line with their guidelines. And they have instituted a very straightforward policy that precludes attorneys pursuing active litigation against the company from attending events at our venues until that litigation has been resolved. That's what a spokesperson from MSG said. And they said, while we understand the policy is disappointing to some, we cannot ignore the fact that litigation creates an inherently adverse environment. All impacted attorneys were notified of the policy, including Davis, Saperstein, and Solomon, which was notified twice, which I think that's the law firm this woman works at. And she's not the first lawyer to be impacted by this. There's an active lawsuit trying to dismantle it. And this is in Radio City Music Hall. It's in Madison Square Garden. And it's just interesting that this is where we are with technology, that private companies can purchase facial recognition software. But it's also interesting that, like, what is the process that they knew what she looked like? That, like, that was flagged already of all these different attorneys that work. I have no idea how large that law firm is. But, is this just going to be our reality?
Well, that's my question, too, though. Where did they get her image from? Is this something that just happens as we walk through life now and there's so many cameras everywhere that...
Well, think about it. I mean, this is... I don't really buy into... I've completely accepted that nothing is really private, right? As someone puts themselves willingly on the internet, I don't, and I don't use, you know, all the, like a VPN or anything like that of all those things to privatize and secure your data. So I kind of have accepted, all of my stuff is out there and I'm being targeted all the time with ads, et cetera, et cetera. But you think about it all, you know, right now it's the AI trend where you upload a couple pictures of yourself and then you get, it spits out images of you and everyone's posting that on social media right now. Before that, there was some app where it aged you. So there's all these like fun apps that pop up that become trendy for a week or so of people like giving their biometric data, largely because they're like, take a picture of myself close enough and detailed enough. And it's attached to my accounts. It's attached to my name. So I feel like it's probably not as hard as you think it is, considering how much information we willingly give away all the time.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. And so I don't know. What do you, I mean, it's weird, but it also comes back to like, should companies just be, I mean, is this like, we retain the right to refuse service to anyone? Is that what this falls under?
Pretty much. It's basically, we don't like people who are suing us, so you can't come.
And I don't know, as someone who's not a lawyer, maybe there's an argument there as far as active litigation and you scoping out, I don't know. It's an interesting story as far as the balance between who gets to enjoy what and also the privacy of, or maybe not the privacy, it's just the reminder that no matter where you are, there's enough technology in the world now that like don't do anything stupid because you're going to get caught.
It's going to be recorded somewhere on some device, on something. Yeah, there's no sneaking. There's no sneak anymore.
No sneak. You can't just sneak. This isn't the Wild West as far as you can just shoot a person and then go down to the next town and never get caught.
No. We all know who we all are. And as you said too, Kristen, we are most often the ones who are putting it all out there.
Exactly. That is really the thing. It's not that we're not very complicit in how much of our own information is being used both for us and potentially against us.
Well, and think about, I mean, I used to answer a lot of those silly surveys that would pop up on Twitter, find out, you know, what your next life would be and your name, whatever. And that's, you are the product when you fill those things out.
Yep.
They are selling your data. And that's one of the reasons why I left Facebook, because you are the product that Facebook is selling.
Basically, anything that is a freemium model or a free product to use, you are the product.
They're
going to advertise to you or sell your data. And I'm not saying it's inherently bad, and it's just the trade-off between convenience or this fun new app that you want to be able to partake in. But just know, you know, you don't live off the grid. Like, people know where you are.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
All right, well, we're gonna take another break. And what do you think the state's most popular Christmas is? Do you have a guess? All right, Jane's gonna guess when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind me of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind me of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
ha, ha, ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
On FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to Asmos, Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have a topic that you think we should cover or a guest we should have on, or if you have feedback for Jane and I, you can email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. I actually got one this morning talking about sustainable agriculture and how it's going to save us. And so you gave a suggestion for a guest that we could talk to as well. So follow up with that person. I don't, off the top of my head, I can't remember who the name was of who submitted that, but we love suggestions like that.
We sure do.
So I'm going to flip this around now, because we just had a last minute cancellation. And so Rob Perro is not going to be joining us. We will have to reschedule him. But we understand that as two people who had to make a lot of changes last week because of guests booked and we were not doing live shows. Things change. We're flexible. We're improv artists, right, Jane?
Absolutely. We roll with everything.
Have you ever taken an improv class?
I did take an improv class. I did it with Comedy Sports.
Okay. Did you like it?
I was intimidated.
Fair.
I was intimidated by it because, well, and for one thing, I had a really big crush on someone who was in Comedy Sports, so that was a lot of pressure. And I also felt like, you know, they're semi-professional improvisers.
Oh yeah, we worked with one of them, and Brian Kelly is a big improviser. Both in life and in performing.
It's a great skill set. I mean, it really is. And for people who are good at it, they're really good at it.
Well, I think that's one of the things with improv, especially if you're an actor and you're encouraged to take a improv class, the skill set that comes with them, there's a lot of life lessons that I think come with it. I remember when I read Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants, you know, she talked about how much, there's a whole section of her book of how much improv informed her life. And I think the big one is always the yes and, because in improv you can't say no, because you're building a world in real time, and that doesn't work if your partner says no, it's not, when you just said the cat is on the chair, and you can't say what cat, you're like, okay, now we, you know, you have to agree on the terms and keep moving forward. And I think that's what people usually come back to, saying why improv is such a good skill set, because that's a good life motto of just saying yes and instead of saying no, and building together versus contradicting one another.
And doesn't it also, it forces you to listen?
Yes.
Right?
It absolutely.
If you're going to, you know, here, take this elephant and then you got to, you know, wing it from there. But
do something with the elephant.
Yes,
you jump on it. You got to get hit by its trunk.
Right.
Got to put a little hat on it.
You accept the elephant.
the elephant is now scared of the mouse. Any different things. Multiple. See, I just came up with five different ways that scene could have gone.
Look at that.
But I always think about that. What you were saying is, I think the intimidation factor is real, especially when you're younger. But, you know, it's hard to do new things. And I think when the demonstration of what was, you've only seen improv is Whose Line Is It Anyways, which are some of the funniest, best at what they do, got a TV show out of it. They're so good.
Yeah.
And you have these expectations that that's what it's supposed to look like. But I certainly know when I've taken improv classes, you want to be funny. And usually when you are trying to be funny, you're not that funny. And instead of letting things be truthful and honest and sticking to the storyline and say, and being willing to fail, the perfectionism gets in the way. Sometimes I think whether you're trying to actually be a performer or even like you just taking the class for fun, I mean, like, well, I suck at this because what I'm saying isn't funny, and you're too in your head about it because it really is something to be good at. You have to get out of your head,
and the willingness to fail. That, yes, that takes courage. It does. That takes courage.
And I think that's for me in my trajectory, if that's the right word to use. I hated failing as a young person, which is ironic considering how many auditions I went on and how many I did not get. And so clearly I was failing all the time. But even within that is the, you're holding on so tight and I have to do it right mentality. And I think in leaving acting when I was 21, 22, and then going to college and doing different things. And I would say even in my career working in tech, there was still ego involved or trying to do it right or be seen in a certain way. And it wasn't really until later when I restarted improv and started doing stand-up and understood and also seeing other people trying to start stand-up or trying to start improv or starting to start sketch writing and performing, of realizing like everyone sucks at first. Like starting new things is hard, but if you let go of the expectation that you're just going to be naturally good at something, and it really does take 10,000 hours to become good at something, then it becomes a lot like easier to just get up there and fail. And I remember before I even thought of radio as a career, I had someone ask me, do you think you could do your own show? I think I surprised this person by saying, yeah, probably. And he goes, well, that really? Like, you've never done this and you don't think you'd have to be part of like an ensemble to carry the show? Well, I'm not saying I'd be good at it first, but I'd figure it out. Because you're very confident. I was like, no, I just feel like I've gotten over the fear of my world will end if I'm bad at this at first. And the expectation, if you're bad at first, then you can't get better.
Embarrassment is hard to embrace. You know, to visibly fail, to publicly fail is, and again, it takes courage. It takes some chutzpah to throw it out there and be willing to not be great right out of the gate, which most of us aren't.
Speaking of not being great, I think I said yesterday that my fun video for Journal Sentinel this week is taking a break from explainers or politics, and that I made up lyrics for a new 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh.
12 Days of Wisconsin Christmas.
Oh.
If we have a show tomorrow, we will play it tomorrow. But I watched the draft today, and yeah, I still can't sing. Still really bad.
There have to be some.
It's wildly embarrassing because I really committed to it. And so I watched it. I was like, this is super cringy. And some people are going to be like, oh, some people are going to really like it.
Oh, now I can't wait. Now I can't wait.
Putting it out there. And so, all right, well, we're going to take another break for the top of the hour news. And I'm going to figure out what we're going to talk about in the next segment because it's a open gap now. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you. Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP.
WFHR, Wisconsin
Council.
Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at